urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Oh yes, Lord, Thy will be done today and every day. Welcome, good afternoon. This is In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, and you are listening to Thy Will Be Done. But your ears do not deceive you. I am not Ann McClone. If you were listening last week, or if maybe you forgot, Ann is off today. And so my name is Ann Koschut. So you do get another Ann this week. I'm Ann Koschut. I've been here in the studio with Ann McClone before, and I am so blessed to be here this afternoon to fill in for her. She had mentioned last Friday that she would be out today and had asked for your prayers for a very special intention for her and her family. And so I want to let you know that she appreciates your prayers so very much. And she asks you to continue to pray for her and her special intention. And isn't that the beauty of our Catholic faith? This being able to be bound to each other in prayer, to help each other, to lift up each other in good times and in difficult times. We are all together in prayer. And so please keep those prayers coming for her and her family and for each other. Let's all pray for each other, right? Because that's what part of our journey on this earth is about as the family of God. But just as Jesus said, be not afraid, because Ann will be returning next Friday. So I will be trying to fill her shoes today for a little while, and she will be returning next Friday. But today is also First Friday, and so we are going to have our regular First Friday special guest, Dr. Carol Houghton, the Chancellor of the Diocese of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And so she will be joining us in a couple of minutes. And you're going to want to stay tuned for that, because we're going to be talking about marriage. And, you know, this is something that our listeners have said they want a show about. They want a show on marriage, what it is. What does the Church teach us about marriage? And there have also been a lot of requests for some discussion about annulments. And so Dr. Houghton is going to begin the discussion today. This is going to be kind of a two-parter. So today we're going to begin the discussion on marriage with Dr. Houghton. And then next First Friday, so in March, it's February already, time is really flying. So in March for First Friday, Dr. Houghton will return and we'll pick up part two and we'll talk specifically about annulments. But today we're going to sort of lay the foundation and really try to dig into a good understanding of marriage and what our Church teaches about marriage. So she'll be calling in here in just a couple of minutes. But before she does, I want to mention a couple of things. First of all, this is this goes in the save the date file for you. The 40th anniversary celebration of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Can you believe that? 40 years of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Incredible 40-year celebration. And that's coming up on Sunday, April 30th. And that's going to be at Malvern Retreat House. And the all of those final details are getting put together. And you know how that is, a 40-year celebration. This is a big one. So there's a lot of details to put together. And all of the little finishing touches are getting put in place. And as soon as all of the details are ready, that will be announced. But we just want to make you aware that that's coming up. So save that date, Sunday, April 30th, and that will be at Malvern Retreat House. So you can give us a call here at the station, 610-527-2906, if you have any questions, or you can watch our website, www.inhissign.com, and that will be updated with information. Okay, so you want to keep an eye out for that, the 40th anniversary celebration. Okay, before we get to our special guest, Dr. Houghton, and we talk a little bit about marriage, I want to mention the feast day that we celebrated yesterday. Yes, friends, did you know that we celebrated a feast day yesterday? If you didn't, go ahead on your kitchen wall, on your parish calendar. Don't look at the calendar you got from the mechanic, but the one that you got from your parish that has the list of holy days, and you will see the presentation of our Lord in the temple. And this is a wonderful feast day because it celebrates this encounter that the Lord has with the holy and just man Simeon. And I want to, I'm not going to read the scripture, but I want to commend the scripture to you for your own reflection, maybe sometime today after the show, or sometime this weekend. Go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 to 38, and read about this encounter. Mary and Joseph taking the baby Jesus to the temple for this ritual dedication of the child to the temple. And while they are there, they meet this man, Simeon, who has been waiting and waiting with great anticipation, praying, knowing that the faithful God will come through and bring salvation to the world. And so the feast that we celebrated yesterday commemorates that encounter of our Lord with the just and righteous man Simeon. And the reason that I bring this up, before we get to Dr. Houghton, who's waiting on the line, and I want to just make this connection very quickly, that Simeon actually preaches the gospel to those people who are around him within earshot. He preaches the gospel that the Savior is now in their midst, that salvation has finally been visited upon Israel. He identifies that child as the Savior. And he prophesies. Of course, we know that he prophesies that Mary's heart will be pierced by a sword. She will endure a lot of suffering on account of the suffering that Jesus will endure. But also that this child will be a sign of contradiction in the world. And I think that when we look at marriage, we can see a lot of associations with this moment in Scripture where Simeon preaches the gospel, preaches the coming of the Lord and salvation, and preaches that this gospel is a sign of contradiction in the world. And I think in many ways we can see marriage the same way, that marriage, that commitment of a man and a woman in and through the power and action of God is a real sign of contradiction in the world, but a real powerful preaching of the gospel. And so if you have some time today or this weekend, look at Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 38. Meditate on that, reflect on it, and think about the ways in which you in your own faith life can be a sign of contradiction in the world, and how you can really proclaim the gospel with your life. All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes of today's big topic with our special guest, Dr. Carol Houghton. She is the Chancellor of the Diocese of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and she is our First Friday guest. Hello, Dr. Houghton.
Hello, Anne. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I live in your neck of the woods in the Harrisburg-Hershey area, and I got on the turnpike, and I'm here in the studio. I'm so blessed to be here and to be talking to you about marriage. You know, I understand that they've been getting some requests here, Anne has, for really talking about marriage. Our listeners want to dig a little bit more deeply into the subject of marriage and what the church teaches. So, Dr. Houghton, why is that, do you think? What is it about, I don't know, our time, our culture, where we are today in history, that really makes it so urgent for us to look at marriage and what the church teaches?
Well, that's a great question, and I think, you know, there may be just a general misunderstanding of marriage today.
Yes.
I think there may be a confusion regarding what marriage is.
Yes.
Even among some Catholics, especially when you take a look at our culture, our society,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, sometimes changing its view, its definition regarding marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question can arise, is the church's teaching on marriage the same as it was, or is it too changing?
Yes.
And so that may be the underlying reason why some of our listeners want to hear about, you know, the church's teaching on marriage, you know, today.
Yes, I think you're right. And I think there's also, you know, a lot of young people who look at some, frankly, bad marriages out there, maybe even some in their own family, and they think to themselves, well, gee, is this kind of a commitment even possible? How can it be? And I think that really the church has the answer to that question, and it's really a resounding yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's find out why. Why does the church kind of say yes to marriage? Let's dig into that.
Okay, well, maybe the place to start is Scripture.
Yeah, oh, that's a great place to start, yes.
And the church, in its teaching about marriage, you know, is rooted in sacred Scripture. It
mm-hmm.
really begins in the very first book, the book of Genesis, with the creation story, and it ends in the book of Revelation, the very last book, with the wedding feast of the Lamb. And Scripture often refers to marriage, to its origin, its purpose, as well as to the meaning that God intended it to have from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we just take a quick look at the Old Testament, beginning with that book of Genesis, we can see that the whole creation story, the creation of the world, is climaxed in the creation of man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
We are made in God's image and likeness. And St. John in the New Testament tells us that God is love. And therefore, we who are made in God's image are also called to love, which is the fundamental and innate vocation of every human being. When we love, we are reflecting that image of God, our Creator. And notice that the love of God is generative. It's creative.
Mm-hmm.
And so the love of husband and wife should be.
Yes.
Their intimate married love was also meant by God to be creative and life-giving. And Scripture affirms in that book of Genesis that man and woman were created for one another. God said, it's not good for the man to be alone, and so I will make a suitable partner for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he created woman, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, his equal, his nearest in all things, and he gave the woman to the man as his helpmate, his partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're told a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh.
Yes. You know, Dr. Houghton,
I knew that the man needed companionship.
Yes.
And this is presented in Scripture as a heterosexual partnership
mm-hmm.
between one man and one woman joined together in a unity. Man and woman equal in human dignity, both created by God, and God joins them together with a bond in a partnership that was meant to be permanent. So they are no longer two but one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, an important root to see in the scripture.
Yes, I agree with you, Dr. Houghton. And what really struck me, and there is so much in there to unpack in just that little bit that you gave us so far, but what really struck me is that connection, and you said we're going from, or we can, in looking at marriage, we can go from Genesis to Revelation. We can't do all of that in 40 minutes, but
<No. laughs>
but that connection is there, and that you begin with talking about God as the creator and he creates man and woman. And then you jumped right to St. John. You jumped to the New Testament and you said that St. John tells us that God is love. And so therefore, that male-female relationship, all of our relationships really being made in the image and likeness of God are reflective of the God who is love. That's important, I think, friends, for us to realize that the Old and New Testament are bound together, that, we don't sort of read the Old Testament and say, oh, that's old, so it's kind of out of date, but to really see the continuity in Scripture and how the Old Testament really, prepares us for that message of the New Testament. So that's a beautiful connection there between that being created in God's image and likeness and, the evangelist John telling us that God is love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true. And Jesus, too, in the New Testament, went back to the creation story. Mm-hmm. When he was questioned about this, why did Moses permit divorce?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, because of their hardness of hearts. But Jesus said it wasn't so from the beginning.
Right.
Didn't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and declared, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one.
Mm-hmm.
Thus they are no longer two but one flesh, and let no man separate what God has joined. So Jesus, in his teaching, went back and referred to the creation story himself.
Yes.
And so in the New Testament, Jesus also teaches that God, who created man and woman, unites husband and wife so perfectly in their relationship that they become one flesh. And now the church teaches that this is called the unitive aspect of marriage, the two becoming one. Mm-hmm. In marriage. And that's an important aspect or hallmark of marriage itself in the church's teaching, the unitive aspect of marriage. And that's one part of marriage that we're going to see. We're going to talk about another aspect shortly.
Okay.
But also in the Old Testament, we have leading up to Christ. And I like the way you put it, Anne. It's not, okay, here's the Old Testament, now set that aside, now we're going to talk about the New Testament.
Yes.
But yes, the Old Testament prepares, for the New Testament. It leads up to, and you can see fulfillment there.
Mm-hmm.
But we have leading up to Christ the prophets of ancient Israel who prepared, the way.
Mm-hmm.
For the teaching of Jesus, especially with regard to permanence and fidelity that's required in marriage. And the prophets illustrated these elements of the marriage bond by highlighting the never-ending fidelity of God himself toward his people and his will that Israel would be faithful to him alone. And so we're going to see that part in marriage, too.
That is a really good insight, Dr. Houghton, that the prophets are proclaiming to us the fidelity of God to us. And so as part of that imaging, being in his image and likeness, imaging him, God calls us to fidelity too. Isn't that amazing how I wouldn't have gone first to the prophets? I would have gone to some of the marriages in the Old Testament for my example. But what an important insight that the prophets are pointing out to us God's fidelity.
God entered a covenant with Israel.
Yes.
And covenant, as you know, is exclusive relationship, never ending.
Yes.
Permanent. And we speak of marriage now as a covenant relationship. It's more than a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about why that distinction.
No? Yes.
And then in the Old Testament, we also have the books of Ruth and Tobit, the Song of Solomon, that speak of the wonderful tenderness and love and fidelity of God by using, you know, many love images and songs and poetry that describe the unconditional love of God for his people and the human love that reflects and mirrors this love of God.
Yes.
Which is just beautiful. It's beautiful imagery.
Yeah, you're right. And you use the right word there, that tenderness, you know, that tenderness with which God loves us and the kind of tender and faithful love that he calls us to have for each other, and particularly in a special way in the bond of marriage.
And I think it was St. Paul, the first writer of the New Testament, you know, very early, who uses the image of marriage in his letter to the Ephesians.
Yes.
To describe Christ's relationship to the church. And he says, marriage is a great foreshadowing, and it's a mystery. But he says, I mean that it refers to Christ and the church. And St. Paul here says that it's marriage, that marital relationship between a husband and wife, that shows to the world what the love of God is like, what the relationship between Christ and his church is like. And what's that like? He says it's an unbreakable bond. It's unconditional love. It's full of faithfulness. It's marked by fidelity, loyalty, trust. St. Paul says this is a mystery, but it's true. It's true. In fact, one of the nuptial blessings that may be used in the liturgical celebration of marriage refers to this text in St. Paul. And the prayer includes this phrase, Father, you have made the union of man and wife so holy a mystery that it symbolizes the marriage of Christ and his church.
That is so powerful. And friends, for those of you who are listening and are married, think about that. Think about that responsibility that we have as married people, that showing forth of the love of God, a responsibility, but what an awesome gift. Isn't that powerful?
It's very powerful. St. Paul's really saying here that when the world looks at a married couple, a husband and wife, the world should see the love between Christ and his church.
Wow.
Or the love between God and his people.
Wow. Boy, that really makes me think about how I relate with my husband. So
it's very powerful. It is.
It is. Oh, amazing.
And he says it's a mystery. And also, in the Old Testament, God had entered into this covenant with his people. We used that word before. And a covenant is a permanent, unbreakable relationship. No matter what Israel did, Yahweh would continue to be their God, and Israel would be his people. And now St. Paul says that marriage is like that Old Testament covenant between God and Israel. It's like Christ's covenant with his people, the church. It's an unconditional and permanent relationship that will never end.
What a comfort, I think, to married people to know that. I did marriage prep for many years, actually, here in the Archdiocese, and I would often say to couples that, that marriage bond is pretty strong. You can beat it up and throw it around like a ball, and it might get dinged up a little bit, but it won't break. It won't break because of that power and grace from God. What a beautiful image that is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
And what a comfort. What a blessing for us that God is there. That we don't have to do it on our own power. That we have to work at it. But it's not, if it's up to us in our own power, we're in trouble. We need God in that
mm-hmm.
covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Well, Vatican II tells us a lot about marriage as well. As you know, the Second Vatican Council was held in Rome from roughly 1962 to 1965. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that council clearly taught us is that God is the author of marriage.
Yes.
And we know that from his word in Scripture. Vatican Council II taught us that in creating marriage, God endowed marriage with certain essential elements, values, and purposes. And therefore, marriage is not simply a human invention or a human institution. And I think it's so important, Anne, for us to understand this, because
yes.
if we understand that basic concept that God authored marriage, not us,
yes.
then it's something that the church or society in general cannot change.
That's right.
Or alter. Even though society might desire to change it from time to time or redefine it,
mm-hmm.
The church says we can't do that because we didn't create it to start with.
Right.
And we didn't give it its essential nature and its purpose.
Right. And, as a married woman, I find that actually so freeing, not restrictive, but so freeing that, that I can count on the church to hold fast to what, as you said, God, the author of marriage, has said about it and the way that he has created it and given it that essential nature and purpose, which we're going to dig into a little bit more here in the next couple of minutes. But I find that to just be so freeing to me, as a married person, something that, I know that I can hold on to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. That's great, to hear you say that as a married woman.
Yeah.
Because I'm a single woman, and I'm here talking, dialoguing with you, a married woman, about marriage. So that's great. That's
right.
Wonderful to hear you say that.
Right. Well, I think that people who are not married have a stake in marriage, too, and a very important stake. And we're actually going to be delving into that a little bit more as we continue on with the program. Friends, you are listening to Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm Ann Koschut, sitting in for my friend Ann McGlone, and we've been talking to Dr. Carol Houghton from the Diocese of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. She is the chancellor there and also a canon lawyer. And so we are delving a little bit more deeply into the meaning of marriage and what the church teaches about it. And sometime after the break, we're going to open up the phone lines, and I'll give you that number. But we're going to take our half-hour break right now, and we will be back in just a few moments.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to In His Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Okay, friends, we are back, and this is Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. My name is Ann Koschut, and I am filling in this week for Ann McGlone, and we'll be back next Friday, but she appreciates your continued prayers for her and her family. And I am joined today by our First Friday special guest, Dr. Carol Houghton, who is the Chancellor of the Diocese of Harrisburg here in Pennsylvania, just up the turnpike a ways. And we are talking about marriage and what the church teaches us about marriage. And, you know, we sort of took a very quick tour through Scripture, and Dr. Houghton was pointing out that really, I mean, we could spend a lot of time, couldn't we, just on the scriptural roots of our teaching on marriage, couldn't we?
Yes, we definitely could.
Yeah, yeah. But I think maybe in, you know, our remaining time, you know, we can maybe dig in a little bit more to some of the particulars. You had talked about the nature and the purpose of marriage. So maybe we can dig into that a little bit more. Before we get to that, I do want to just give the phone number in case anyone out there has a question for us about marriage. Remember that next month, Dr. Houghton will be back, and she'll be talking specifically about annulments in that process. But right now, if you have a question about marriage and the church's teaching, you can reach us at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. But Dr. Houghton, let's get back to that discussion of marriage as that sign of God's love in the world. Let's dig in a little bit more deeply in what exactly that means and you know, what is that sign? What is marriage?
Well, you know, Anne, we talked about marriage as a covenant, mm-hmm. that permanent, unbreakable relationship. We also can talk about marriage, and the church does talk about marriage, as a contract at times, because it is the legal exchange of certain rights and responsibilities and obligations. For example, the right to a shared residence, mm-hmm. the right for the woman to assume the surname of the man, the right for a joint ownership of material goods and property and so forth. Mm-hmm. So there is a legal exchange of rights, but it's not just that. It's marriage is much more than a legal exchange of rights, much more than a contract. And so the church prefers, I think, the more biblical term of covenant mm-hmm. To describe the marital relationship, but it also uses the word contract at mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. Jesus taught us that marriage is truly good. It's truly good. And the church has listed marriage as one of the seven sacraments, probably since the Council of Lyon in 1274. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, it's a sensible sign instituted by Christ by which invisible grace, which is the action of God within us, mm-hmm. and inward sanctification are communicated to the souls of two baptized people who enter into this sacrament.
Okay, now again,
as you know, in St. John's Gospel, Jesus mm-hmm. performs his first miracle at the wedding feast in Cana.
Yes.
And the church attaches great importance to this. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church says this: the church attaches great importance to Jesus' presence at the wedding at Cana. She sees in it the confirmation of the goodness of marriage and the proclamation that henceforth marriage will be an efficacious sign of Christ's presence. That's number 1613 in the Catechism. But this confirms for us that Christ is present in marriage, in the relationship with the couple, mm-hmm. and that he brings his grace to them. So in Christian marriage, there are not only two, but there are three. And I think that's what you were talking about before.
Yes. Yes. Now, I want to just unpack a little bit more what you just said. You talked about that efficacious sign. You talked about grace and inner sanctification. And those are, beautiful expressions, but, you know, some kind of big words, efficacious and sanctification. So break that down for us, for our listeners. What is going on there when we talk about this grace and sanctification in marriage?
Well, the church talks about the sacrament of marriage. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we talk about marriage as being a sacrament, and the church teaches that marriage is a sacrament when it's entered into by two baptized people. Mm-hmm. And so both parties to the marriage have to be baptized, not necessarily Catholic. I'm not talking about
right.
two people who are Catholic, but
yes.
two baptized people. So both would have to be baptized, since baptism is the first sacrament received mm-hmm. and is called the gate or the doorway to the other sacraments. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be baptized first before you can receive any other sacrament in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be baptized. So both parties are baptized. And then the marriage, they can both receive the sacrament of marriage. Mm-hmm. And so both parties, if they're baptized, they could be baptized Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, Orthodox. Mm-hmm. One could be Catholic, one could be a baptized Lutheran. Mm-hmm. As long as both parties are baptized, the Catholic Church teaches that Christ takes what would be a natural bond of marriage and raises it to the level of a sacrament.
Yes.
And so that bond, which between two unbaptized people would be a natural bond of marriage, now becomes raised by Christ to a sacramental bond, mm-hmm. to the level of a sacrament. Mm-hmm. Now, the Methodist Church, for example, or the Lutheran Church or Presbyterian Church may not believe that about marriage.
Yes.
That when two Presbyterians marry, that their marriage is not a sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
But the Catholic Church believes that.
Yes.
About their marriage. That it becomes sacramental, that Christ is present in that marriage, and that therefore it has the characteristics of a sacrament. There's mm-hmm. grace that's given to that couple, and that there is a firmness about it to that marriage bond.
Yes.
There is a special firmness, an indissolubility that's attached to that bond once consummation takes place,
mm-hmm.
that a sacramental marriage has, that that is of a certain character and strength, that the code actually tells us, the code of canon law, that a ratified, which is a sacramental marriage,
mm-hmm.
and consummated marriage, both sacramental and consummated, cannot be dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
That's different than an annulment, than granting a declaration of annulment.
Yes.
And we'll get into that next month. It cannot be dissolved by any power other than death.
Mm-hmm.
Only death ends that kind of a bond. So it's
wow.
it's strengthened by that sacramental bond.
Oh, yes, that's powerful.
It's a very strong bond.
Yes.
By
yes.
reason of the sacrament. I had a professor in Rome who would limp around the room like he had a broken ankle. And he would say, a sacramental marriage cannot limp. that, you know, both parties have to be baptized
mm-hmm.
for that marriage to be a sacrament.
Yes.
And therefore it becomes strong.
Yes.
And then he'd stand up strong on 2 feet and walk around the room almost marching.
Yeah.
And he'd indicate that this marriage is strong.
Right.
You know, the bond becomes strong. And it was a very visible sign to us, you know, that a sacramental marriage is strong.
Yes.
And so I think that, you know, that's important to see that a sacramental bond is formed when two baptized people marry,
mm-hmm.
and the presence of grace and the presence of that grace brings strength
yes.
to that bond, and Christ's presence is there with that couple in that sacramental bond.
Yes. Yes, so that Christ presence, that grace that is able to strengthen that bond, something that we can't do on our own power, but we can rely on God to make that bond strong, is so important for us to understand. But then that other piece that you mentioned was the sanctification, and this part I think is also really powerful, that marriage is a way to become holy for the married couple, isn't it?
Yes, marriage is a way, it's a vocational sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage and holy orders are the two vocational sacraments, but marriage should, the two spouses should really help lead one another to their ultimate vocation, which is to arrive at salvation.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes I think I am really a good way to heaven for my husband, and that he's got the patience of Job. But it is true that marriage isn't kind of a lesser vocation or a lesser sacrament. It really is a way of holiness, and it's a way that God loves us. God loves me through my spouse, and God loves him through me. And so I think it's really important too for our listeners to know that marriage really is a way toward holiness.
Yes, yes, it clearly is. If I could just mention, before we run out of time here, the four goods of marriage, I think we can see some of it in there, too.
Yes.
Because there was a period in church history where marriage, and I think you were getting to this, Anne, was seen as somewhat of a lesser state in life.
Yes.
And virginity was highly valued, and chastity.
As they should be.
Yes, sure. It was highly valued.
Yes.
But marriage was seen as a lesser choice.
Yes.
As a vocation. And St. Augustine wrote much more positively about marriage. And he identified certain goods, he called them goods, that are contained in the very nature and essence of marriage as authored by God. And St. Augustine did this in order to show the inherent goodness of marriage itself as authored by God, and to state clearly that marriage is a wonderful vocation for Christians. Mm-hmm. And these goods that St. Augustine identified are part of the essential nature of marriage that cannot change. And St. Augustine identified three essential goods that form the nature of marriage itself, and then Vatican Council II identified one more.
Okay.
So we have four essential goods of marriage. So if our listeners can picture a pie, just a big circle, and cut it into four equal pieces, the first piece would be the good of the spouse. And this is the good given to us by the Second Vatican Council. And this is the good, I think, Anne, that you were just referring to. Mm-hmm. Marriage is intended by God to benefit each of the parties in the marriage.
Yes.
God said in the book of Genesis, it's not good for the man to be alone. And so marriage is meant for the good of each person in the marriage. Marriage is a lifelong vocation of total sharing and caring, of putting the other person's good first. Mm-hmm. This good of the spouse, as it's called, is also expressed in the wedding vows, where the priest or the deacon will ask the two people, will you love and honor each other as man and wife for the rest of your lives? You know, marriage isn't the place to harm the other person.
Yes.
Or for vengeance, or to carry out a vendetta. It's not the Montagues and the Capulets or the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Yes.
You know, it's a vocation of total sharing and caring. It's a lifelong vocation of love, of being what St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. You know, this is how God loves his people, how Christ loves his church. This is how the world is going to see how Christ loves his church when they look at marriage. It's the good of the spouse. This is where we're going to help each other, the husband and the wife, reach our final destination, which is heaven.
Yes.
The second good is the good of children. Marriage is also intended by God to be the place where children are conceived, born, and nurtured. Mm-hmm. And so marriage is to be open to new life. And so just as God's love was creative, so love in marriage is to be procreative. Mm-hmm. God said to that first human couple, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And so he asked them to continue his creative activity. Their love, like his love, should be life-giving. Now, it's true that we don't exchange in marriage the right to children. Mm-hmm. We don't have that to give. We can't give that right. Mm-hmm. But what we do exchange in marriage is the right to those sexual acts that may result in conception. Mm-hmm. And so what we give is the right to normal sexual intercourse.
Right. Now, Dr. Houghton, this good of marriage, this openness to children or fertility, this is one of those things I think that at the opening you said there's some confusion or misunderstanding about marriage. This is one that I find people have this misunderstanding, even among some Catholics, that as Catholic married people, we are supposed to start having babies from day one and only stop when we can't have them anymore. Is that what this good of marriage means?
The good of marriage, go ahead.
Is that what this particular good, this openness to children, is that what it means? Start having babies and keep having them until you can't anymore.
Well, the Church teaches that it's okay to plan families.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a licit way to do that. And it's called natural family planning.
Yes.
But it does mean, this good of children means that we are not to, that we are to be open to children, that mm-hmm. we are not to frustrate this, that we are not to be closed to children. A person can't enter marriage and remove this from their consent.
Yes.
I cannot say I will not have children.
Yes.
That's so, two negatives. That's a double negative.
Right, right. but that openness is there whether children come in the marriage or not, because sometimes they don't.
That's right. That's why I said we cannot exchange the right to children, because
yes.
I can't give that right.
Yes. Yes, very good. All right, that's always a misunderstood one, I think, for some people. And then the last one?
Well, there are two more. The good
two.
Of permanence.
Yes.
The Church teaches marriage is a covenant. It's not temporary. And so the good of permanence is also in the marriage vows. John, do you take Mary to be your wife, to mm-hmm. be true to her in good times and in bed, in sickness and in health? To love her, honor her all the days of your life. So it's a permanent bond.
Mm-hmm.
I have to consent to permanence. And the final one is the good of fidelity. Marriage is that exclusive relationship between one man and one woman. When God entered the covenant with Israel, he said, "I am a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me." Mm-hmm. And so marriage, like God's own relationship with his people, is exclusive, faithful, and monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
And so when entering marriage, one promises to forsake all others and be true to only one person for the rest of one's life.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that in the wedding vows. "I, John, take you, Mary, to be my wife. I promise to be true to you all the days of my life."
Yes.
And so those are the four goods of marriage. The good of the spouse, the good of children, the good of permanence, and the good of fidelity.
Well, you know, those are all so powerful, and they make me feel so good, not just as a married woman, but just to know that this marriage in the Church exists, that the Church believes in this good of marriage and you know, gives to married people this responsibility. But it also strikes me that it's a kind of a risk to marry, that the spouses take that risk to, in a way, give themselves and their everything and their futures away, not knowing exactly what's coming down the pike, but they take that risk. And we can only take that risk if we have God with us there to kind of take it with us.
That's true, Anne. And, every year the Pope gives an address to the judges and other officials of the Roman Rota, which is the highest court in the church in Rome. And just this year, just this January, Pope Francis spoke to the Roman Rota officials and spoke about the need for better marriage preparation. And he said as much as you just said. He concluded by saying, "Dear brothers, as I've said several times, great courage is needed to get married in the times we live in. And those who have the strength and the joy of taking this important step must feel next to them the concrete affection and closeness of the church." So I think, you know, he also felt what you just said, that it takes great courage to get married today.
Yes.
And for those who do have the strength and the joy to get married today, the church has to be very close to them and follow them on this journey.
Yes.
They can't do it alone.
No.
They have the grace of the sacrament, but they also need the strength of the community.
Dr. Houghton, I think those are wonderful words for us to end this this discussion on marriage on, that it really does take the whole church, all of us, married, unmarried, priests, religious, to walk with and to be with married couples and families and support and strengthen them in this courageous journey that they're taking of marriage.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Houghton, for being with us and for just scratching the surface of marriage. And I will be really excited to listen in next month when you come back and talk about annulments with our listeners. I'm sure that people are really going to be interested in hearing about that.
That's great. I look forward to it. Thank you, Anne.
All right. Thank you again, Dr. Houghton. Again, this is Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm Anne Koschut, and I've been sitting in today for Anne McGlone, who will be back next Friday. And so we want to, again, ask you to continue praying for her and for her family. And friends, let's pray for each other. Let's hold each other up in prayer, ask God to bless each other and to be with each other as we walk through whatever state in life we find ourselves in, whether we are married or unmarried, if we are students, if we are elderly or homebound, whoever we are and wherever we are, we can pray for each other. Love God, praise and thank Him, and be grateful for In His Sign Catholic Radio and the beautiful spreading of the gospel through this wonderful ministry. So I wish that God would bless all of you. I pray for you. Please pray for me. Let us pray for each other and thank God. Give Him gratitude for this radio station, for this time together, and for the beautiful Catholic faith that we share. Thank you so much for spending this time with me.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.